I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Ray Zerung for his sermon on the first day. He thought he was going to take some of my scriptures, as we all joke about, but if you do remember, he talked about trees a little bit, and trees today is going to be the topic that I'll be speaking about. So we're going to look at trees and see how important they are for us, not only as a physical creation that God created for our benefit, but also for the spiritual aspect that they provide. If you turn to Genesis 1 and verse 11, here's God creating the earth, and he said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so." And further on, if you keep reading, it says, when God finished his creation, it was good. So, trees, grass, these things were created and they were good. There's also God who created the rainforests, which we are presently destroying. Now, rainforests once covered 14% of Earth's land surface, and now, through deforestation, they cover a mere 6%. Experts estimate that the last remaining rainforest could be consumed in less than 40 years. This is scary because the Amazon rainforest has been described as the lungs of our planet. And this is because it provides the essential environmental world service of continuously recycling carbon dioxide into oxygen. More than 20% of the world's oxygen is produced in the Amazon rainforest. Due to massive deforestation, there are many ugly consequences that come, including air pollution, water pollution, soil erosion, malaria epidemics, the release of carbon dioxide into our atmosphere, the eviction of indigenous Indian tribes, and the loss of biodiversity through the extinction of plants and animals. Now, fewer rainforests mean less rain, less oxygen for us to breathe, and an increased threat from global warming. Now, if we didn't know that Christ was coming back, what a scary picture this paints for us. So now we've looked at trees from a physical standpoint. Let's look at trees in another way, and that is spiritually. And as we found out during Ray's sermon, the Bible is chock full of the use of trees and how it uses them in different contexts. Today, we will look at a metaphysical tree and look at the different parts and see how we can use a tree as a metaphor for the church and for us who are in the church and make up this tree. If you turn to Psalms 92 and verse 12, King David likens us unto trees. Psalms 92 and verse 12, and we read to verse 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. So as verse 12 says, it says that the righteous are to flourish. If you go back to verse 7, in Psalms 92, it says, when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. So we see that our growth is very different from the wicked. We see that they are likened to grass. Now, the lifetime of grass, in comparison with the life of a tree, is very insignificant. Trees have long and useful lives. Secondly, these verses in Psalms 92 hold a second meaning for us. It goes on to say, in verse 13, that we are planted in the house of God. We can equate this to the church. And it says that we will flourish in the courts, or if you will, in the presence of God. What an amazing thought. We are likened unto cedar trees, which are strong. They were an incorruptible wood that was used in many areas of commerce, as Ray mentioned, and in the building of houses. In fact, in the Temple of Solomon, the temple that Solomon built for God was made from these very same cedar trees from Lebanon. If you turn to 1 Kings 5 and verse 1. First Kings 5, from verse 1 to verse 6. Actually, let's start in verse 2. Then Solomon said to Hiram, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God, because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father, David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name. Now therefore, command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will pay your servants," and so on. And back in Psalms 92, we also see mention of a palm tree, which was also useful in everyday life. It provided fruit, which was, according to a commentary, a large part of the diet of the people of Arabia, certain parts of Persia, and also of Upper Egypt. The palm tree was also used in making a type of alcohol. The fibers in the leaves helped to make ropes and the riggings for smaller vessels. And also it helped to build smaller buildings and, of course, to make fires. So we have noticed the usefulness of just these two trees mentioned here in Psalms 92. There are so many other types of trees mentioned throughout the Bible, and they have symbolic meanings, but I don't want to focus on one tree per se, but I'd like to discuss now how trees can resemble us both as a spiritually, as a church, and also individually. So for those of you who like to take notes, I'm going to now break this sermon into three parts. Point one is roots. To grow properly, trees need roots. These roots provide at least two separate but very important functions. First and foremost, the roots must support the tree. The bigger the tree is, the larger its area underground will be. Now, typically, root systems of a tree expands out past the drip line, 2 to 4 times the diameter of a tree's average crown. So the tree goes out like this. It's going to have a wide root system. So it takes a lot of roots to support one single tree. If we look at this from a whole perspective, we see that God has called us and our fellow brethren. Now, whether or not we are in the same church, we are part of the spiritual tree. And as I said, trees don't just have one root. It takes many roots to make and keep a tree growing. It is we, brethren, each individually, that make up the roots of this spiritual tree. If you turn to Colossians 2, and verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Secondly, the tree roots absorb and transport water and minerals from the soil to the rest of the tree. They help to push the development of the tree so that it can mature and produce fruits and foliage. It is as a collective of absorbing and growing that helps the tree to grow stronger. We can look at it from the standpoint that that is why we are here, called by God. Turn to John 6. John 6 and verse 65. Christ is making the point here that it is only through the Father calling us that we can be here. John 6 and verse 65, and he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." So we are all learning and growing. It's very representative that we are all at different stages in our growth. And our growth is so personal. We have the ability to personally help the church to grow, whether we realize it or not. This is important because God is waiting for the church to make herself ready so that he can send Christ. Unfortunately, he can't wait forever. We have to be growing and absorbing these nutrients daily, just as trees do. Thankfully, we have the perfect soil and the perfect nutrients with which to grow. Once we become baptized, we then have access to God's Holy Spirit. It is that very power through which God works. He goes on to tell us in the scriptures that all we have to do is ask for his help. And he will be there for us. Of course, we do this in accordance with his will. God wants to see us succeed, and he wants to see us prosper. But we have to be willing to do our part to personally grow so that we can help this tree to grow. If we keep growing, and King David says in Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3, that we will be blessed. If you turn to Psalms 1, the psalm we just sang this morning for our first song. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. So we see that tree root system is very important for a tree's growth. It is also true, though, that when a tree is growing, care must be given to avoid root rot, which is a disease that trees sometimes get. To avoid root rot, a caretaker must carefully maintain a healthy base for the tree. And this is because once the root system of the tree has become severely infected, the tree usually must be cut down and removed. And this reminds me of two examples in Scripture which diligently warn us not to let ourselves get root rot. The first can be found in Mark 4 and in verse 19. This is, of course, the parable of the sower. But there's just this one verse I want you to read here. Verse 19. In the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Parallel scripture to this one is found in Luke 8. Verse 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read that one for you. Luke 8 and verse 14. Now these ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. We have to be careful, brethren, that we do not let the cares of this world, the pleasure and the riches, to ensnare us so that we, as trees, get root rot. Rather, we must worry about growing and producing fruit, which was something we'll talk about later. We must worry about hearing the word and keeping the word. For if we do this, we who are planted in good soil will bring forth good fruit with patience, as it says in Ephesians 3 and verse 17. I'll just read this one for Ephesians 3 and verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The second scripture that I was reminded of was found in Luke 13 and verse 6. Luke 13 and verse 6, and we will read to verse 9. And he spoke this parable, and this is Christ speaking to his disciples. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Get rid of it. Why does it use up the ground?" And the caretaker answered, and he said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." I looked up some commentaries on the scripture, and they said that this parable could be likened to God, and he comes to see the fruits of this particular tree. But each year, when he comes, there are no fruits. And so in frustration, because the tree is taking up room in this vineyard where other trees could be planted and producing fruit, he tells the keeper, who can be equated to Christ, to cut the tree down. But Christ responds by asking for a little more time. He says, "Give me another year to prune, to cultivate, and to fertilize this tree." Brethren, this tree can be equated to us today. We are planted within God's vineyard. He gives us all the tools and the resources to really grow and to produce fruits. Now, Christ is our helper, our keeper, and our intercessor. He sits at God's right hand right now. And it is he who is able to tell the Father, what it is we are going through on a daily basis. And we know this because the Bible says that he was tested and in all points, and yet he never failed. He asked the Father on our behalf for help, for more time to overcome. And as I said before, unfortunately, if we do not heed the warnings found so many times throughout the Bible, there comes a time when Christ can no longer help us. Now, I'm not trying to make this a sad sermon or a depressing one, but we need to hear these warnings so that we do wake up, as it says so many times to the churches in Revelations. We don't want to be at the end time saying people are gnashing their teeth that I could have, I should have, but I didn't. Let's not let root rot get to us, but let's continue to grow our roots. Second point, this is the trunk. I looked up on what Wikipedia had to say about tree trunks. It said in botany, the trunk refers to the main structural member of a tree that supports the branches and is supported by and directly attached to the roots. The trunk is covered by the bark, which is an important diagnostic feature in tree identification, and which often differs markedly from the bottom of the trunk to the top, depending on the species. The trunk is the most important part for the tree for timber production. I can remember listening to sermons on tape growing up of Mr. Armstrong stating in sermons how important it is for us to hold on to the trunk of the tree. And the trunk of the tree is so important because it is the base for our knowledge. We could equate the Bible, the very word that we read every day, to this trunk. It has so many layers, and we really have to study deeply to come to a good understanding. Turn to Proverbs 3, verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. As King Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs, he says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." If you drop down to verse 17, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." And so during preparing this sermon, I was struck with the thought that it takes time and effort for a tree to grow. And it takes time and effort for us to study. I've also noticed in the course of my time speaking, which has not been very long, but it's during these times when I'm preparing for a subject that it is when I really stick my nose into the Bible and really spend time in studying. Now, I don't enjoy studying. I don't enjoy going to school, but whether or not it may be for school or for any other purpose, but it's so important and vital for us to study the Word of God, whether we want to or not. When you're studying, I would encourage you to pick a subject and really study into one area instead of studying too many things at once. Through personal observation, I've many times when I'm at a loss for what to study, it's because the playing field is just, it's so wide and so vast. And so it's great that we have all the booklets and things that we do, because we can just take one booklet and just study through it, and there's one specific area. Third point. Fruit. So trees are created for giving the purpose of giving us fruit, along with many other uses. If you turn to Deuteronomy 20 and verse 19. It's an interesting tidbit here. It says Deuteronomy 20 and verse 19. When you besiege a city for a long time while making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. If you can eat of them, do not cut them down to use in the siege, for the tree of the field is man's food. So God created the trees for us, for food. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 3, read to verse 4, God also said that he would bless his people if they kept his commandments. And one of the ways that he would bless them is through the yielding of fruit. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 3. And you shall go to one who is I think I have the wrong scripture there. Yeah, I do. Anyways, let's hear somewhere in Deuteronomy. It says that God would bless Israel if they would keep his commandments, and one of the ways would be through the yielding of fruit. And that also if they disobeyed him, the trees would not produce fruit. Let's go ahead and jump to Luke 8 in verse 11. Luke 8, verse 11. Once again, we'll go over the parable of the sower. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. In the parable of the sower, these seeds are the word of God, as it says. If these seeds are grown in good ground, they can grow and come to produce fruit. These fruits can be paired with our fruits of the Spirit that we are to grow. It takes time to grow these fruits, and it is not something we can instantaneously do. We have to employ these fruits as they become ripened. Galatians 5, verse 22, of course, gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So these fruits of the Spirit, they take time to grow, and they build upon each other. In and of themselves, they are each amazing fruits and are hard to aspire to. But if you take all these fruits and you put them all together, and I think you can really have a big picture of what it is to be a true Christian. In Matthew 7 and verse 16, Christ warns us that if we are not busy growing the right fruits, then we are going to be in trouble. Matthew 7 and verse 16. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, it's not enough for us to say, Lord, Lord, and then go our own way, as it continues to say in verse 21 to 23. Christ warns us that there's even these people, but they will be cast out. And that's because their fruits had not ripened. It's very important for us. In Luke 3, in verse 7, we see that John the Baptist was preaching this message of bearing good fruits and of becoming true Christians. Luke 3 and verse 7, and he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" That's just the part I wanted to read there. He tells us to bear fruits worthy of repentance. That is, a true repentance from our sins. A full turning away from that which way that we are going. If we do this, then our fruits will grow. It's also important to ask ourselves, how can we tell if our fruits are growing? Matthew 11 and verse 35. Story of when John the Baptist was in prison and he sent his disciples to Christ. Matthew 11 and verse 3. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So Christ didn't say, "Yes, I am," and he didn't say, "No, I'm not." What he said to these two disciples of John, he said, "Go tell John what you see being done. Tell him the fruits that you see, and he will know." If you turn to John 15 and verse 1, I think it provides a good summary for this last point. John 15 and verse 1, we'll read to verse 9. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And so now we have looked at a tree, both physical and spiritual. Trees are here for our good, and they provide us with many good things. And we as trees provide good things also. In the soon coming kingdom, we will perform many different tasks, but each task is so important for the growth of the whole tree. In Ezekiel 47 and verse 12, we read of trees that provide food and healing. Ezekiel 47 and verse 12. Along the banks of the river, on this side and on that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail, and they will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. So, brethren, we'll be able to provide spiritual food and spiritual healing for those who we are teaching. Turn over to Hosea 14, a couple books over. Hosea 14 and verse 4. We read of a time when God would restore Israel to himself. What a happy time that will be. Hosea 14 and verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. And he shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. And his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Brethren, is this time that we are picturing now? If you turn over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. It also talks about trees here. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. It says that we will be called trees of righteousness for the glorification of God. If you think about it, brethren, the world that this mess is in now, it started way back in the Garden of Eden with the presence of two trees, the tree of good and evil, and the tree of life. This tree of life is now a spiritual tree in the heavenly city, which Christ is going to set up here on this earth in the near future. If you turn to Revelation 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7, and it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Also, if you jump to Revelation 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22, and verse 14, and it says, blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates, by the gates, into the city. And so that is why, brethren, why it is so important for us to continue to stand tall, like trees, immovable, and producing fruits worthy of repentance, so that when Christ does come, he will be pleased with our efforts, with our growth, and with our fruits. You turn to verse 20. In Revelation 22, Christ says, "And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly."